Hey everybody, before we get into the show, I do want to let you know that we have another live show coming up Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas in North Las Vegas. We are going to be talking about the vampire ballerina horror comedy Abigail. This movie looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And joining me to talk about it are my wife, Gina Mazzoni, film student Perry Markle, and filmmaker and Sin City Horror Club founder Nick Woods. It's going to be a great time, great conversation. There's an enter to win contest going on right now on my website, piecingpod.com. You can find a link in the show notes. Enter to win some tickets. And otherwise, tickets are available from Maya Cinemas. And I hope to see you there on Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. Hi, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it is one of our special monthly trailer roundup episodes with Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year. Every month, we take a break from the usual format to talk about a whole bunch of movies and get a quick little overview of what's going to be happening in the coming month. And we're going to talk about, I think it's 12 movies coming out in March of 2023. So lots to talk about. Fun conversation coming up. Before we get to that, as always on these trailer roundups, I got to read some listener puzzle pieces from people who wrote in after our episodes and see what we got here. So looking here at my notes for listener puzzle pieces. So it turns out, we got a bunch, but they're all for M. Night Shyamalan's Knock at the Cabin. We covered a bunch of other movies this month, but all the listeners wrote in about this movie, and there's so many other puzzle pieces. And I love that when a movie has, so many other pieces. We always talk about, at least like 8 or 10, and the fact that people can send in so many other things, that's always fun. So starting it off, Chauncey Talese, who actually covered Old with me, M. Night Shyamalan's last movie. He wrote in Cabin in the Woods, Sacrifice to Stave Off the Apocalypse. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how he didn't bring that one up. So yeah, definitely. David Mycor said The Happening Because It Sucks. I don't agree with you, Dave, but Dave's one of my buddies, so it's all good. Sean from Civico, the Road to Avatar podcast, said Killing of a Sacred Deer because of family sacrifice and all that. And that's a weird movie. I need to rewatch that one of these days. It's such a weird one that I don't really quite remember how it would connect, but it seems like anything could happen with that movie. And then Joe Black wrote in Southland Tales, a conspiratorial apocalypse movie where everybody is doubting if the thing is happening and it's all God's doing and it's real. And that's a great puzzle piece. I'm surprised I didn't think about that one. So yeah, great one there, Joe Black. That's all of our listener puzzle pieces for the month. But I do remember, and I hate that I don't have it written down, somebody private messaged me about an Infinity Pool piece, and I can't remember what it was. I don't know why it's not in my notes. My Evernote like erased it or something. It also erased Joe Black's, but he had just commented that like a half hour ago, so I remembered that one. But I don't know why it erased it. So whoever it was that sent in the Infinity Pool puzzle piece, I thank you, and sorry that it got erased from my Evernote. Evernote, fix your app. Let's talk about some March trailers. Jason Harris is back with us for some more trailers. Jason, how's it going?
Dave, it is a cold, wintry day as we record here in Las Vegas. Perhaps the climate apocalypse is finally giving us all the reaming we deserve.
Yeah. You're setting a nice scene here. This is like a very, it's almost like a narrative podcast today, but things are weird out there, but let's talk about some movies and maybe that'll get us through that climate apocalypse. Starting with last month's movies, let's just run through them real quick and see what we actually got around to, and then we'll get to some new ones. But we started off with Knock at the Cabin, which we did cover here on Piecing It Together. And was another great M. Night Shyamalan movie. He's kind of on a roll again.
Last night, Dave, we did our live Cocaine Bear podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was going to sneak in afterwards to knock at the cabin. I was excited. I'm really glad I didn't, though, because I had too much popcorn and it was a race home.
Oh, boy. So next up is 80 for Brady, which I did not see.
Certified did you watch hit. It? Certified
yeah, it hit. Is. It really is. I didn't see it, but people love it. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be that surprised. It's kind of just like a populist movie for the masses kind of thing.
Is it, Dave, or is it a wonderful reclamation project for genius filmmaking?
Okay, moving on to the next one, Magic Mike's Last Dance. I did want to see this, but I never got a chance to. Did you see it?
No, I had no desire to see this one. I didn't see the second one. I mean, I guess the desire would be that it's a Soderbergh one, but next time I see you, I'll just thrust my dong in your face to make you feel better for missing it. Dong, dong, face, dong, in a rhythm, face, dong.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Next was one of the many February Valentine's movies, Somebody I Used to Know, which I did watch and was it was exactly what you'd expect, but it was cute. It was fun. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. It was all right. It kind of just meh, you know.
Exactly.
But I know in your Letterboxd review, you said that now you're going to have to go visit that town.
Yeah.
And you're making me want to punch you in the dick early in this episode.
Good. Well, I'm sure we'll have more of that later.
Oh, there will be plenty more of it.
Your Place or Mine was another one of those, which we actually started like the first 5 minutes and then Gina tapped out. She didn't want to watch anymore, and so I never got back to
it. I heard it's terrible, you know?
Yeah. Everyone definitely says
it's
terrible. Working.
It's interesting because that's Eileen Brosh McKenna, who's, Devil Wears Prada, and she's a crazy ex-girlfriend. She's a frequent guest on Script Notes, and she's so smart. I don't know what happened here.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say it like looked like a real movie, even though it's a straight to streaming thing. Like it looked good, but it wasn't funny at all. And it was trying very hard to be funny. So I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a chance again one day, but probably not. Next up was Sharper, which I did watch. And it was good. It wasn't great. You're probably not going to get around to an episode on it, but maybe one or two too many twists and turns. Like it's one of those movies that just is a little over engineered kind of, but
yeah,
did you watch it?
And the final one, you're like, okay, I see exactly where this is going. I watched it too. I like that upscale 1%er setting, you know, which is very popular right now. The important thing is Succession's back next month. Yes. Blah, 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 blah.
Final season.
No, well, hey, honestly, they have a chance to go down as the greatest television show of all time. If they stick this season as they've stuck the first three, let's do it.
Yeah, I can't wait. Next up is Marlo, which I really planned on seeing, but did not get around to. Just haven't had time this past week, but I'm going to probably go this next weekend, but didn't see it yet.
I have a special set of detective skills. I'll track you down.
His 100th movie, they keep telling us. Next was Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, which did really well. It looked terrible. From what I've heard, it is terrible, but people are going out to see it, so good for the filmmakers, I guess. Yeah. I mean, comparatively speaking, I think they made it for $20,000 or something, and it made $1 million, so.
Yeah, well, you know, that's your elk. You guys, like, you know. I'll see a horror movie, but I'm not going to go out and see everything. You see all the horror movies, so why don't you fuckboy horror boys get it together? Fuckboys!
Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is next, which is our most recent episode of Piecing It Together at the time of recording, and not good.
Some people like this one, Dave.
I know. I don't get it. You know, the one thing I'll kind of like concede is that it's a bad Ant-Man 3, and it's an okay Marvel Cinematic Universe number 31 or 32, whatever we're at this point.
Well, I will see it probably when it comes on Disney Plus in one day or something, days from now.
Yeah.
But Dave, it brings me endless joy to know they've ruined your favorite franchise in Marvel. That, you know, I know you have taken this very personally, and that's just wonderful for me.
Oh, I was just sitting in the theater, just so bummed out.
I love that.
Last on last month's list was Jesus Revolution, which I, of course, did not go and watch. I thought it looked awful. But I did really enjoy your awesome movie, your co-host Josh Bell's review of it. It was very funny. But yeah, it sounds like it's really bad.
I just heard it's like a pair of brothers who make those movies or produce them. And they've both been on the Indie Film Hustle podcast. And they're, again, smart guys who know what they're doing. But Josh was telling me, like, they left out all these things about, like, how one guy was kicked out of the church for being gay, and, you know, one guy, you know, I don't know what he did, but did something, you know, illegal, and they never mentioned that. And it's like, you know, if you're going to present yourself as, like, good Christian entertainment, at least be honest about what you're doing. But then again, you know, I guess Christianity is never really had a problem with being dishonest about that.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's kind of inherent to the, right? Yeah, it's part of the storytelling of a religious movie. So of course, but, yeah, so I don't know. I'm sure people will go out and see that, but, I don't think I will, but, let's start with our March trailers. Starting with March 7th on Netflix is Far Away, which is about a woman who goes to live in a seaside house on a Croatian island that her mom left to her. And apparently the mom has also promised it to this guy, and they end up sparking a friendship or maybe falling in love. I'm not quite sure. What do you think about this?
The biggest disappointment in the trailer is that it didn't use the temper trap sweet disposition. Remember 7 years ago when, like, every movie like this, you know, you'd do like, oh, things just aren't what they used to be. Oh, I can't get my mojo back in the sweet disposition. You know that.
See, I thought you were going to go a different way with that. I thought you were going to say it's a shame that they didn't use the whole Florence and the Machine song, because it plays the whole trailer.
But you know what? Like, I like these, like, I like these kind of, like, geography porn movies where we set them in, like, beautiful settings. My pieces are all movies I've never seen, but feel like this is exactly the same movie. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, Eat, Pray, Love, the movie Falling in Love. Do you remember that one?
I remember that one.
I-N-N. And then, of course, how Stella got her groove back. So it's just, you know, paint by numbers, like, oh, you're having sex with the janitor? Ooh, he's a hunk. He could mop my floor any day. Code for my puss.
You should really do trailer voiceovers
with you.
Oh my god, what's happening? This is gonna be a weird month. I had Eat, Pray, Love on mine as well. Also Mamma Mia, which is another one of that same kind of genre. And also I had Yes Man on my list, because it seems like she's just gonna kind of take what the universe is giving her and go with it. And
she's gonna say yes when that dude is plowing her. Oh, give it to me, baby.
All right. Next up in theaters on March 10th is Champions. Woody Harrelson stars as a basketball coach who kind of screws up a whole bunch and ends up getting assigned to coach a team of disabled players. It's a Farrelly film, not Farrelly Brothers anymore, right? Just one Farrelly.
Yeah, this one's by Bobby, not Peter, who won the Green Book Oscars.
Peter is an Oscar winner now. Bobby is
trying.
I guess so. But this is a remake of a Spanish film called Campeones. It looks fun. It looks good.
Does it?
Yeah, I think it looks fun. Woody Harrelson in this kind of role, it seems like just such a good fit for, like, someone with his attitude and his personality.
I mean, I love Woody Harrelson. I mean, this is basically, you know, look, the idea is, like, he's a famous coach, and then he gets, caught drunk driving. So instead of going to jail, he's going to do community service. We've seen this movie 78 times. In this case, he's helping a special needs basketball team. I guess it could be fun. I don't know. I feel like it's going to make me angry, but at the same time, like, I could watch it on TV. I don't know.
Well,
but, you know, it's the way back with Ben Affleck. It's the Mighty Ducks, right? This is the Mighty Ducks. Same exact setup. Woody Harrelson as Coach Gordon Bombay. Watch the documentary Murderball also.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of...
Yeah, good documentary.
That's it.
Yeah, The Way Back was on my list as well. And The Peanut Butter Falcon for, like, that sweet, lighthearted comedy that doesn't, like, shy away from its main star's, you know, disabilities. So, yeah, like I said, I think it looks sweet. And Woody Harrelson's great, so maybe it'll be something.
Well, also, you know, credit to the Farrellys, because you remember Warren from There's Something About Mary, who was a very funny supporting character.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, they've always accentuated special needs. Like you said, like, they're letting them be themselves. They're not trying to hide anything or change them.
Absolutely.
So, could be, I guess you could.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Well, next up is Scream 6, also March 10th in theaters, which looks just like the last Scream. I feel like just it's in New York City now. And it has the... You know, all the returning cast members except Nev Campbell, who is definitely not back and definitely not going to end up being Ghostface.
Ooh, is that what you think's happening?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. They made such a big to-do about it. Like, oh, contract negotiations all fell through and she's never coming back. And it's got to be.
Is Jenna Ortega's in this, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think they should put up Courtney Cox and Ghostface next to each other and say which one took more special effects work.
Oh, shit.
I'm just saying. Lay off the plastic surgery. I don't know. Maybe that was a little much. I like Guns that it's in New York. Maybe they pushed the grittiness of this a little more. You know, obviously, the Courtney Cox character is like, this has to end between me and you. So it's Halloween ends. Copycat. Yeah. It's Summer of Sam. Like, I don't know. It looked okay. We'll see. Whatever, but I like your prediction that it's Nev Campbell and
so,
Matthew Lillard.
Did you see the last one?
No, I didn't see that crap.
Yeah, no, I didn't really like it either. Jason Goes to Manhattan, I feel like, is the obvious one, and they really should have leaned into the marketing on that. The other one I thought of is the movie that everybody hated last year, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it all centers around Leatherface on a bus killing people, and here we've got Ghostface on a train killing people, so... Pretty easy comparison to make.
I'm excited for your prediction, though. You've actually raised the stakes on this one, Dave.
I just sold you on Scream 6. I love it. Mm-hmm. Another one on March 10th in theaters, but of course also on Netflix, Luther, The Fallen Son, a continuation of the series with Idris Elba. Did you watch this show? You watch a lot of these shows.
Yeah, I was surprised that you put this on here because it is a movie from a TV show. I love, you know, British crime shows. So, like, Luther's just one I know it's going to be great that I just haven't gotten to yet because I like to binge all these, you know? So, this movie looks like I'd watch it on its own, but, I never watched Luther. I will watch Luther, especially after this one comes out.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, like, because I felt the same way watching the trailer. I was like, this just looks like a great crime thriller if you didn't know that there was a show. Like, it just looks good. So,
yeah.
I'll probably watch it too. What do you have for pieces?
My pieces were a little offbeat here. I put El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie, because this is, you know, literally Netflix taking something and being like, hey, how do we make a movie out of the show type thing?
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And this one is another one of those just recently came out either on BritBox or Acorn, the Detectorist movie special, which is a comedy. The Detectorist is so funny. And if you've never watched that show, you should totally watch it and then watch the movie afterwards.
It's called The Detectorist?
Yeah, they're metal detectorists. It's two guys in a field, Toby Jones and the guy from The Office, and they like just have metal detectors, and they're small town guys with, you know, regular life problems. It's just such a lovely show.
Wow, that sounds good. Yeah, I might have to check that out. I had Seven on here, even though there's not a supernatural angle. Like, everything is just super dark, and so, you know, for the crime being that dark. So I had that on there. I also had The Batman. Kind of feels like everything is super heightened and the killer is almost like a Riddler type.
Is it Andy Serkis?
Yeah, it is Andy Serkis. And I love Andy Serkis.
Yeah,
so.
We're pro Andy Serkis.
Yeah, I might just watch this movie. Like I said,
no, watch
the
show first. Why not?
Yeah, you know me. That'll take me like 2 years.
You
like,
tried to that. Watch Your Place or Mine. You can go watch the show.
That's true.
Disposition.
Another one on March 10th, limited release, but it'll also be on VOD, I believe, at the same time. It's called Punch, It's about a gay teen boxer and the issues he has with other students, as well as connecting with his father, played by Tim Roth. Looks like a solid drama, although a little, maybe it's going to be under the radar or something.
I think I was watching this trailer and I felt disconnected from it because I am past the point where we need a genre of gay guy in macho world who does macho job has to keep hidden that he's gay. Like, I feel like we've done that genre over and over, and maybe it was necessary for a while, but I really hope we're past the need for that. But maybe we're not past the need for that, and that's where my disconnect is, you know? But
Yeah, that's difficult.
That's where it lost me, you know? So obviously you go to Brokeback Mountain in a much different way. I went to Billy Elliot, which is one of my favorite movies, you know? And, you know, you know, Sing Street, School Ties, where, you know, it was before being gay was bad, being Jewish was bad.
That's true. You do have to hide that, especially if you're going to be a boxer.
You couldn't hide it, even if you tried.
That's true. I just kind of was like, you know, any boxing drama, even without the gay angle. I mean, it does seem like there's a lot of that, you know, anything from like a Southpaw or any of those kind of movies. The other thing was last year there was a movie that another one that just kind of went under the radar, the A24 film, The Inspection. About a gay Marine. And so, like you said, there's been a lot of that kind of subgenre that's happened, but My Policeman, the difficulty of the profession and the difficulty of, you know, life itself as a gay man. So like it's, maybe it's been done a bunch of times, but, maybe it is a needed thing, you know?
I don't know. I mean, we talked about this, like after The Menu, like what is the next iteration of like, you know, superstar chef who breaks down and needs to go back to simplicity. Like, I feel like we've done this now. We have to move this to the next step.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to you. You said boxing drama, and instead of Rocky or Raging Bull, you chose Southpaw.
Yeah, I know. Why did I do that? that is random. Anyway, next up, 65, coming to theaters on March 17th. I can't wait for this movie. It just looks absolutely ridiculous. It's from the writers of A Quiet Place, and it stars Adam Driver in the future as a kind of like space traveler who crash lands on an alien planet only to find that it's Earth 65 million years ago and there's dinosaurs. It looks like a fake movie. Like, it doesn't seem like this could possibly be real, and I'm so excited for it.
And why? And Adam Driver, is he just, you know, all in on blockbusters now, or what?
I mean, he did the Star Wars movies, obviously, but other than that, he does very interesting roles, so it's like, why this? This just seems like such a strange choice. There's got to be something to it, and it makes me wonder if there's some kind of hidden stealth thing about this.
Nope, probably not. It's probably not going to be good. I think you're hoping for the best, but
I am.
Right, as I say in the 12 chairs, hope for the best, expect the worst type thing. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, you know, After Earth, that would be expecting the worst. So, you know, Land of the Lost. And then I put, because it's him and a little girl, I'm quite enjoying The Last of Us right now, you know, and they're so, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. But yeah, no, I don't know what's up here. I don't get it.
It's a very strange premise, but I'm very excited. Obviously, with the dinosaurs, I had Jurassic Park on here. That's your Land of the Lost. I also had Planet of the Apes, which is kind of the reverse of this. Oh, it's, you know, Earth, but it's the future, and Planet of the Apes, you know, here it's Earth, but it's the past. So those are my two pieces, but I am very much looking forward to it. I'm also very much looking forward to our next movie, which is called Inside and will be in theaters on March 17th as well. And this stars Willem Dafoe as an art thief who gets trapped inside of the room where he's doing a heist. And it's Willem Dafoe, kind of one man show. I mean, come on, I'm in.
Yeah, I like that. And I like this like reverse Panic Room premise, right?
Right, you know? Right.
But, and spoiler alert, Dave, because you always give out, like, Ex Machina as a puzzle piece. Like, this is, like, as if Ex Machina started at the last scene of Ex Machina or something.
Nice.
Like that, right?
I like it, yeah.
So, to me, I had those Panic Room and Die Hard as kind of, like, those, like, communicating with the outer world where you can't get out. Ex Machina. And then Locke, which was that one-hander with Tom
I still
Hardy.
Haven't seen that. Yeah, I need to see
it's
that.
Good. And of course, the Thomas Crown Affair. I don't know. I had read, like, hey, the only good thing about this is Willem Dafoe. And I'm like, well, he is the whole movie. So maybe that's not a bad thing. But
right.
love Willem Dafoe. I think he's like our number one actor.
He's so
like
good.
Me and you. Like, if we were a group, that would be like our first draft pick or something.
I'm in on that. Yeah, that's a great choice for that. But I had a bunch of Panic Room. I had Thomas Crown Affair. I had. I'd also throw in Escape Room, which is kind of the like silly mainstream horror version of an escape room concept. And this feels like a more, I don't know, artsy, weird kind of take on it. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. Next up on our list is A Snowy Day in Oakland, which will be in theaters March 17th. It's about a woman who opens a psychiatry office or wants to open a psychiatry office in the middle of a black neighborhood. Apparently, it was originally called Head Shop, which I think is a much better title. It stars Nicole, Ari Parker, Dion Cole, Michael Jai White, Keith David. There's a lot of people
Loretta
here
Devine,
that I recognize.
Yeah.
Loretta, yep, absolutely. What do you think about this one?
I mean, I love the idea that it's a movie about, you know, therapy in the black community and black people talking about how they can't, you know, how there's like a stigma to getting therapy and how they're not allowed to get therapy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, as a comedian,
it's a good setup.
Comedians, you know, but it's like, and then it just seems like it's going in a lot of other ways. Like she sets it up and then like, of course, the landlord's like, I'm selling the block, you know, and it's like, so... You know, I put the barber shop because wasn't that in one of them? We're like, we're selling the block, right?
Yep,
and it's like, you know, we talk here and everything. And then, you know, analyze this or The Sopranos for that angle of like a group of people who aren't supposed to go to therapy who need therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the same ones. I also threw in Dr. Katz, you know, Jewish people.
Yeah,
Dr.
Katz.
Psychiatrist.
What a good
so.
One.
Yeah. Oh, and one other, Head Case with Alexander Wentworth. You ever watch that series?
No.
Oh, that's so funny, too. It only lasted two seasons, but I really like that. Another psychiatrist show.
Do you have a favorite Dr. Katz bit?
Oh, man. It's been so long since I've watched any of them. Wasn't Marin on one?
Oh, everyone was on one.
Yeah, everybody was. But I think that was one that I used to really like. But I haven't watched any of it in a long time. I need to revisit it. I have it on DVD, I believe.
Nobody cares.
Children of the Corn is up next, March 21st on VOD.
You know, actually, the remake everyone's been asking for.
Yeah, apparently, it's been delayed like a bunch of times, so I don't know. But this is actually from, I just found out, and this makes me a little bit more interested in it. It's from the director of Equilibrium. Remember that Christian Bale sci-fi movie from, that like came out right before The Matrix or whatever? But it's weird that that would be, that guy's back with a movie. But anyway, yeah, remake. Stephen King story. I mean, I think everybody knows what Children of the Corn is.
Right. So you know, remake Stephen King, The Stand from a few years ago, or was that the one where they're all in the bubble? I don't know. So, I mean, and you know, Evil Kids, we do this once a month. Evil Kids, Kids Murdering.
We
you
do.
Know, The Omen, Village of the Damned. I also put the idea of a subsect getting back at the people who abuse them. Women Talking.
Sure. Women Talking, and I have Midsommar and The Wicker Man, so yeah, that goes right along with Women Talking for sure.
Although they
so.
Don't really they don't really get back at the men who abuse them. They just talk.
Yes,
they make a decision.
Yeah, is that all they do?
That's it. Do you see the movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie. That's what
I mean. It's a very accurate title for a film.
It really is, absolutely. So I don't know about that one, but we'll see. Next up is Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves in theaters March 31st, which seems to be the Marvelfication of Dungeons and Dragons. Everybody is super quippy, and I don't know, they're trying hard. They're pushing this movie. I see the trailer every time I go to the movies, but it stars Chris Pine, Regine Page, Michelle Rodriguez, Justice Smith, Hugh Grant. I don't know. What do you think?
I wanted you to get like someone who plays Dungeons and Dragons to comment on this, because I watched this and I was like, who is this for? This looks so terrible in so many ways, like every single way. Like, are Dungeons and Dragons players like looking for this? Is this the type of like kind of shitty humor that they want in their movie? I don't know. This looks so bad. Did they make a Dungeons and Dragons movie like 20 years ago?
They did. Like, I think they made one like right after Avatar. Like, it was like right when that was a big thing, like big CGI fest in 3D, you know? So I guess it's time again to try, but it doesn't ever seem to work too well.
I mean, dude, I just watched like the opening sequences, like Michelle Rodriguez and Chris Pine are like about to die, right? They're like in a gladiator type dungeon and they're like, we're going to cut your heads off. And they're like, okay, cut our heads off. And then they like hold up a brick. So when the guy tries to cut the head off, the block, he cuts into the block, and I'm like, this action is just terrible. Like, it's just garbage. But I mean, you know, the Game of Thrones Arya, when she became like, you know, the woman with no face, like thief type thing, School for Good and Evil. And then it's all this, like, we need to form a team, Expendables, Fast and the Furious, X-Men First Class. Like, it just, this maybe looks like the worst of the month to me.
It's pretty bad. I mean, maybe being nice to it, I put Guardians of the Galaxy as far as like this kind of a quippy team, and like weird characters and stuff. I also had Shazam, another superhero movie, one that's like just very kind of childish humor, you know? And then I don't know, I guess maybe it's just the Chris Pine connection, but I thought of the recent Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams Star Treks. I guess Reign of Fire, you got to have something with a dragon in it, so I'll throw that in there too. So.
I almost put Guardians of the Galaxy for Luther because it's like a good guy has to break out of prison. So, but yeah, this just, I mean, am I wrong? Does this not look just like garbage pile bad?
It looks really bad. And like I said, they're trying so hard to push this movie, which is so strange. Like, it doesn't seem like a property that people are like clamoring for. So I don't know why.
Chris Pine like deviates from like movie star to like VOD guy. Like, there's no in between with him, right? I don't get it.
He's having a rough time of it, but I guess we'll see. Maybe who the hell knows what people want anymore. But next up is A Good Person, which will be in theaters March 31st. It's Zach Braff back as a director, directing Florence Pugh, who I believe they were together at the time they made this.
Yeah, for a long time anyway.
Yeah, and also Morgan Freeman. It's about a woman who ends up in a kind of depression spiral after an accident that kills her fiance, I believe. And the fiance's dad is in the same support group as her. Is that what happened in this
show? I don't know about all that. I thought like maybe the woman died and the dad wants the kid back, and then she wants, I don't know.
Yeah, it was very unclear. Like, you could tell that it's Zach Braff kind of, I mean, I put Garden State on my list just because it just seems like it's similar territory. He's trying to recapture that kind of a vibe, I feel like.
I'm rooting so hard for this to be good because I loved Garden State at the time. And I loved it when I watched it maybe 10 years ago, but I haven't watched it since. But like, he was supposed to be like the next Wes Anderson for all of us, right? That generation. So.
Well, all of us. Does that mean you Jersey people? Is that what?
Means us like indie, you know, nerds, I know. You know, and everything
for
like
sure.
That. So, and I don't know, man. So I had the station agent because of the lead, Morgan Freeman's like obsession with trains and, you know, stuff getting on time.
That's a good one.
It's kind of weird character beats. And I never saw that movie Rain Over Me, where Adam Sandler loses his family in 9/11 and has to move on. But I did watch Mare from Easttown and the family kind of dealing with the fallout of one of the kids dying. So like, those were my pieces. I'm rooting for this to be good, but if it's really bad, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Right. It could really go either way. But Florence Pugh, like, if nothing else, is usually the best part of the things that she's in. So, you know, hopefully it's another good performance, if nothing else. But I had, like I said, Garden State. And then the other one was last year's Causeway with Jennifer Lawrence and Brian Tyree Henry. It seemed like that kind of two people's friendship out of a shared trauma that affected both of them. So, Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, hopefully it'll be good. Our last movie of March will be on Apple TV Plus on March 31st, and it is called Tetris. It's the story of the man who brought Tetris from the Soviet Union and turned it into a hit video game. It stars Taron Egerton, and I'm excited. I'm a big Tetris guy, so.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I was like, it just doesn't look good, but, like, when I saw that it was a movie, but then I watched the trailer, and I'm like, hey, you know what? This looks pretty good. I'm kind of interested in this, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so who knows, man? I want it to be, you know, it looks fun. There definitely had that vibe of the Americans or Stranger Things, like Soviet Union 80s, you know, type feel. Obviously, you bring in like Pixels or the Lego Movie and Ready Player One. I don't know. It could be a thing. I don't know. Leave me alone.
I'll throw in there The Founder with Michael Keaton as the guy who founded McDonald's. I mean, two big ubiquitous brands in their story.
Or what was that one that David O. Russell did with Jennifer Lawrence?
Joy.
Yeah,
Joy. That's a good one.
She won the Oscar for that, right?
I believe so, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's actually, that's a great one to add to the list. The other thing that it reminded me of, because of the 80s setting, but the series Physical with Rose Byrne, just kind of that, like, kind of goofy, but, like, a lot of obstacles to create this series of aerobics workout tapes. So it just kind of reminded me of that, all the stuff that this guy has to go through to bring this kind of silly thing to life, Tetris.
It could be a thing, you know, whatever.
We'll see. And by the way, in about a month's time, I think it's in April, we'll be talking about a very similar looking movie, Ben Affleck's new movie, Air.
Right.
Which kind of is the same exact thing. So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, that's our main list of things that we had here. You know, obviously, like a year ago, we talked about Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, the new movie from Guy Ritchie, and that's finally coming after numerous delays. So, you know, you can go back to that episode and hear what our puzzle pieces were back then. But it looks good. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, after the unbelievable weight of talent, I feel like this did that so well. Like, I don't know how this is gonna compare.
Yeah, that's true. But that was really good. So I don't know, were there any of the others that you wanted to kind of shout out before we wrap it up? There's a lot of other stuff coming in March.
I mean, of the ones that made me want to punch you in the dick, there's the donor party.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that seems like that would be a joke in that movie, somebody getting punched in the dick.
Right.
So,
this is like Malin Ackerman. I can't find anyone to have a baby with. I'm only a hot Malin Ackerman. It's like when Jennifer Lopez was made in Manhattan. No one will date me. I'm just a maid, you know? Like, so she has a party where she's trying to find a sperm donor. It looks terrible. I got to say, you know, I love The Sandman, but Murder Mystery 2, that was a tough trailer to even get through.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the first one. Did you like the first one?
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Okay, there you go. I'll shout out John Wick Chapter 4 because, of course, I'm so excited for it, but I already have an episode planned, so I didn't include it on this. Same goes for Creed 3, which I didn't like Creed 2 that much, but Creed 1 is so damn good, and I'm hopeful that this will be another.
I mean, I think you're going to get law of diminishing returns in this franchise because they're working so hard to make it a franchise that it doesn't have to be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Creed was dope. Well, just leave it be.
Creed was great. Yeah. It was great. Well, that does it for our March movies. Jason, is there a movie you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Dave, sadly, I've looked over my entire letterbox for this year, and I feel like we've talked about either on this podcast or on Awesome Movie Year, like the good things I've watched. So instead, I'm going to recommend a limited series that had escaped me. I'm talking about watching The Last of Us. My daughter and I, we watched Station 11, and that's another post-apocalyptic, like, how do people get on with the world after the world end type thing. And that is really, really pretty great, and they nailed the ending.
You know what? The first episode was so good, and then we watched, I think, 2, 3, and 4, but we never made it past that, so I don't know what the ending is. I'm going to have to revisit
it. We had to watch 88 Hallmark movies instead. Grow up, Dave.
We watched like 2 Hallmark movies. Jason, ooh, what do you got going on?
74 Lifetime movies instead. Get a life, Dave.
two of those also.
That's, you always watch Hallmark it. Lifetime movies.
There's like maybe one a week.
That's Jeez. More than two.
That is more than two, yeah. All right. What do you got going on, Jason? What's going on with you?
Dave, we're hot in the middle of 2012, an awesome movie year, which is such an upgrade over 1953, which my co-host Josh wanted. Fuck off, Josh. But 2012 is enjoyable. We're going right in the middle of there. You can find me at all the socials, Jason Harris Comedy, Jay Harris Comedy, Eat This Comedy, any of that crap. Leave me alone.
Perfect. That was a very good plug. Jason, thank you, and we'll get you back again sometime soon.
Oh, what are you going to go watch another Lifetime movie now?
I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harrison. We co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best picture, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jason Harris about some of the movies coming in March. Thanks for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. And you know what it is right now? It's March 2023. It is 5 years of doing Piecing It Together. Usually I mark the end of each year of the podcast by, updating the music theme and maybe doing a little bit of website and artwork related updates and stuff like that. But I'm not ready. I've been working on so many things. We just had the Cocaine Bear live show, I had a lot of prep before that. I was also just a groomsman in my brother-in-law's wedding, so that was busy. Also going to Nashville on a little trip, so we got our 300th episode coming up in a few weeks as well, so I'll do the new year stuff with that. But it is 5 years of the podcast, and I'm really happy to still be doing this after all these years, and I still love doing it, and I'm hoping to do a lot more. I got a lot planned. I want to start revising a few things here and there, and of course doing more live shows and seeing what else we could add into the formula. So thank you for being out there. Make sure you're subscribed wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, we would really appreciate your 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Good Pods or Spotify, wherever it is that you're listening. For whatever reason, the Apple Podcast ones, the people that need to see that we're getting new reviews, they want to see them on Apple Podcasts, which is kind of silly, but, you know, if you have the option of doing that one, go there and do it. But, just listening is awesome, but if you want to drop that review, it would be helpful. You could also, of course, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. We also have the Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus content from Piecing It Together and Awesome Movie Year and stuff from my music career. Lots of great stuff over there. So check it out, patreon.com/bydavidrosen. Lots of stuff to check out. So I hope you do all that, and I just hope you continue listening to the show as we start on our next year. So let's close this thing out with a piece of music like I always do. What should I play today? I think I'm going to play something off my recent album, More Content, because that just came out, and I'm still promoting that. I just put out the Blacklight music video a couple weeks ago. I got two more videos on the way, and maybe even a third. We'll see what happens. But I'm going to play a song called Distance from the album, More Content. So I hope you enjoy this track, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon. Thank you.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.